no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed. Anything that you do, if there's an obsession with it, you realize that obsession. Good things come from that.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
Let loose and just have some fun as you go about winning.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Hot Route, Red 7, Hot Route.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
There's a different vibe around the building.
Obsession.
Everyone just coming to work every day excited.
Being obsessed.
And that's what it's all about.
And now, here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. This is Hogan Johns, episode 161, and another episode from good old Bourbonnais.
Sunny Bourbonnais.
Sunny Bourbonnais.
Finally.
It rained a
got
lot.
Got some sun in my face. Oh, it rained incessantly for three straight days.
We also got the upgraded room in our beloved Fairfield Inn.
See, they heard the podcast raving about the accommodations and the nice people at the front desk. And look, you have a couch in your room now.
I have a couch. I have a couple, what do you call these, side tables?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good setup. Better than the other day when you were like sitting
on your bed.
You would have been sitting on a bed had you not gone
rolled my chair down the hallway. Yes, yes.
Hey, these are the Bourbonnais Studios. We're used to it by now, and we are now four practices into this deal under Matt Nagy.
This deal?
This deal.
That's what you're calling it? You know who doesn't have a deal?
Roquan Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Still no deal.
I gotta stop going this mm-hmm. Someone tells me on Twitter that I do it a lot, or take a shot.
Who cares what Twitter says?
I'm looking for the ticks. It's ticks.
Yeah, someone did take a shot at you on Twitter.
No, it happens every day.
By the way, you can do that at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Please don't do that on at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, but you could. I get my shots, too.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Romano's our producer, at Joey Joro. That's usually where we direct all complaints.
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Hi, Joey Jojo!
That's our complaint.
Yes, he is in charge of the complaint department. Please leave us alone.
And WGNradio.com/Bears is where you can read me. I'll have a new 10 Bears things on a Wednesday. And Chicago Sun-Times is where you can read Johnsy pretty much daily. And you could search Hogan Johns on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Tune in. Please rate and review the pod if you don't mind. We appreciate you doing that. It's good to be back in the swing of things now in Bourbonnais. Practices in the books. We've had two padded practices. I'm still waiting to see this physicality that Matt Nagy was talking about.
Agreed.
It's just, to me, this just looks like any other training camp.
Yes. I want to see a tackle. There was a near tackle. I think DeAndre Hall threw Tanner Gentry to the ground after a long reception. But that's the only tackle I can make of note where the defensive player showed some aggression. I'm sure he was just mad because he got beaten coverage, DeAndre Hall was. So I don't know. Look, they're not going to run Oklahoma drills. They're not going to run the bull ring out there. They can't.
But Nagy has said they're going to go live. We just haven't seen it yet.
Yes, yes. Where's the goal line drill, at least? Something.
Also,
some live impact, please.
A lot of guys out. No major injuries, but they're certainly being careful.
You want to run down the list? Well, Danny Trevathan's the problematic one. Aaron Lynch, I haven't seen him since he hurt his hamstring.
Okay, there's two guys right there. Let's start there.
Okay.
Danny Trevathan, hamstring, has not practiced since it popped up on the physical.
Let me throw a scenario out at you. Do you recall when Vic Fangio was saying that Danny Trevathan is a bit ahead of the curve? He's healthy now. We've had him throughout the entire offseason program. He's not in the trainer's office. We feel like he could go into camp full speed ahead. Do you remember those comments?
Yes.
When he met? We met us? Yeah, that's not happening. He is working off on the side doing, I don't know, he had those ropes out there the other day.
So let me give you a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
We've an established veteran who's definitely a starter, maybe just taking it easy to start camp.
Longer camp. I don't think that's in Danny Trevathan's demeanor. I would hope not. But the scenario I wanted to ask you about is what if, look, Roquan Smith is the future at inside linebacker.
Yeah.
But the Bears still like them some Nick Kukowski. Nick Kukowski's been okay. An outstanding interception of Mitch Trubisky on the move yesterday. Tipped to himself, made the pick. Can you see a scenario where Danny Trevathan sits himself out of a job? He's a John Fox guy.
Yeah, I don't see that because I still go back to the tape from last year, and I see a guy who, when he's healthy, was the best linebacker on the team.
When he's healthy.
Sure, well, if he gets... This doesn't seem like a major thing, though.
What's a thing?
I think it's, especially seeing how quickly they're resting other guys that have little minor things.
Well, no, Kyle Long and Allen Robinson aren't coming off minor things.
Yeah.
They're coming off major surgeries.
But there's other, I mean, Ben Broniker,
Daniel Brown,
Kevin Tolliver, who's had a nice first couple days. Now he's got a quad. Just saw his family downstairs, by the way. They were staying at this hotel.
Yeah, 36 of them.
They're heading home.
36 of them.
Jesus. Okay, I only saw about seven of them.
He's got Chicago roots, apparently. Was raised in the area for 2 years and moved on. But yeah, they were having breakfast in the Fairfield.
Yeah, they're heading home back to Florida. In case everyone needs an update on Kevin Tolliver's family.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I'm not concerned about Trevathan yet. I also think he's better than Nick Kwiatkowski.
Probably safe to say.
And I also think they need
right
that.
Now, but are you writing Kwiatkowski's off as
no,
something? I mean, Danny Trevathan was a six-round pick who turned into something.
I'm going to go back to something I was harping on last year over and over again. Ideally, your depth at positions are guys that can start.
Mm-hmm.
So if Kwiatkowski is playing behind Trevathan and Roquan Smith, but we think he's capable of starting, that's a good thing. You don't need to have another year where it comes down to final cuts between John Timu and Jonathan Anderson, and then by week two, they're both on the team because people are hurt.
I think John Timu is a quality starter. Not a quality starter. It's quality reserve, I should say.
There you go.
Good that, special
That's
team.
Fine. Yeah, okay. That's fine. If he's your fourth linebacker, that's fine.
Okay.
But if Kwiatkowski's your third linebacker, that's fine. I don't think... I guess what I'm getting at is I don't think Trevathan's in danger of his job. And I think I don't think the Bears can afford
things
to be...
Things less...
you can't afford to be cutting guys that are
know,
that good.
I know. But it's not... I think he's a very good player. Let's not overrate what he is, though. Not one Pro Bowl appearance in his career.
Yeah.
Good guy, good leader. But let's not overrate what he is.
Well, it's not overrating him to say that he should be starting on this Bears defense.
Probably.
All right. Roquan Smith. Worried? We're not a week.
We're still in our under.
We are in our under. We set the over-under on Wednesday. Well... Yeah, so you can either take Thursday. It's looking more like it's going to go over, though.
Yes, it is. Oh, absolutely. He goes to the break. They got one more practice tomorrow. It's a closed one to the public. Definitely goes into Wednesday for sure.
Yeah.
There was one more top 10 pick that signed, right?
Two more.
Mike McGlinchey
and Saquon Barkley.
Okay, so that's two down.
And then there are seven left. See,
in its entirety, though, I'm just talking about the top 10 guys.
Right. Well, here, because I tweeted this last night. There's now seven unsigned NFL draft picks. So in the entire draft, there's only seven players who have yet to sign their contracts. Five of those players are in the top eight. That includes Roquan Smith. So if you just look at five of the top eight still unsigned, fine. But he's the only one who's supposed to be in camp right now. And Saquon signed just in time to get to camp. Mike McGlinchey signed just in time to get to camp. So he is still the odd man out in terms of guys who are holding out. He's the only holdout from this year's draft so far. And we're on a week because he was supposed to report last Monday.
But I still think the timing set this up for a holdout, if you want to call it that. The Bears are the first team, other than the Ravens, the first team to report. Earlier than everybody else.
See, I don't agree with that because it's not like they've been negotiating every single day since he got drafted. I mean, from the time he was drafted, deadline was the report day.
But what I'm saying is, though, but the agents are operating out of completely different deadlines.
They shouldn't be if they have their client's best interests at heart. Cool. You should know when your client has to be at camp.
I get it. I just think it doesn't help. Like, they don't – neither – neither Pace and Joey Lane and neither Todd France and crew want to set a precedent when other guys that are drafted in front of Roquan Smith have not signed. So they're probably waiting to see what the details are in those deals. It always works that
way. Well, especially because all but one of the unsigned players are CAA clients. which is an interesting, interesting nugget. Baker Mayfield, the number one overall pick, is the only one of the unsigned players that is not represented by this firm. Now, there's different agents that are representing these guys.
It's a powerhouse firm.
But it's CAA. And clearly, look, if you're doing your job as an agent, you are fighting for whatever you can. And the reality is, these contracts, since the new CBA, have been basically set in stone in terms of the money. Everything's slotted. And so CAA has clearly taken, we saw with Joey Bosa a couple years ago, they have taken a stance that they are going, that they want the money structured a certain way that benefits their client. So the money is all there, but it's just structured this way. And then meanwhile, as we talked about in our last podcast, the teams also have their philosophy on this too. So clearly, the CAA philosophy is not lining up with the Chicago Bears philosophy right now, and I think Roquan Smith is caught in the middle. I don't necessarily, and by the way, I actually want to give Bears fans credit. I haven't seen a whole lot of panic or attacks at him. There's been a few idiots on Twitter here and there, but for the most part, I think no one's panicking over the situation.
When is the appropriate time to hit that panic button? I have a date in mind.
Well, I do too. I think if he's not out there for the first preseason game.
Hall of Fame. Yep, August 2nd.
But you also get to a situation where if he's not here by the weekend.
This coming weekend,
he's in danger of not playing at all in that Hall of Fame game because he's just not ready.
Yep.
And those are missed reps. Those are missed opportunities to get out there and run Vic Fangio's defense, get out there with the second, third team in where you have the headset. I'm assuming that they are going to give him the opportunity to call plays on the field, have the headset on, and relay. I mean, these are all things that you need to go through. And yes, you could say, all right, well, we have the extra preseason game, so maybe we can afford to not have him out there for the first one. If that's what the Bears are thinking, I would look at it more like you have an extra preseason game, take advantage of it.
We've seen Vic Fangio slow play the insertion of rookies before. The more this kid misses, the less likely he's going to be the day one starter we all think he's going to be. Because Vic Fangio is going to make him earn it. He's not going to hand them.
Which means
anything.
You can't be cutting Danny Trevathan at
it. I get it. But we've seen more interesting things play out with teams where the veteran is continuously hurt, regardless of where he fits. If they want to, they don't have salary cap problems. But he's got 2 years left on his deal, Danny Trevathan. That sound right?
Yeah, because I believe it was a 4-year contract.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. I think his long term prospects after this year. I guess if you want to call 2 years long term, I guess it is in the NFL. Like, I don't know how secure his spot is on this roster beyond this season.
And you're just saying that because of injuries?
No, just in general. You know, there's always a turnip.
Because I think he's been playing great when he's out there. I think he's a really good player.
Really good.
Really good player.
Special? Come on.
By the way, his salary.
You've seen special, really good players here at linebacker. One's in the Hall of Fame now.
I'm looking at his contract right now. 4 years.
There's an out after this year.
He is out this year. Let's see. $12 million guaranteed. It was all the guaranteed money's done.
I don't want to sound like I'm an Andy Trevathan hater. I think he's a good player. He's good for that locker room. He's a good leader. I love that he is a 6th round pick who turned into a Super Bowl champion, a starter on that team. He could play darn good football. But we've seen it before where the veteran kind of sits himself out, the young guy emerges, and teams turn the page.
Well, look, from a contract standpoint, they can get out of this. And he's scheduled to make $5.8 million this year in base salary. The only thing that would be left on the books is $2.5 million in dead cap space, which the Bears don't have a cap problem right now. So they could easily get out of this, save themselves. But I would, my opinion, he's worth $5.8 million.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to cut him. But in terms of, I should clarify, in terms of sitting himself out of a job, if Nick Kwiatkowski continues to make Vic Fangio happy, if he continues to pick Mitch Trubisky off in practice that impressively, and you have the number one draft pick coming into the mix, mm-hmm. you could see a situation where Trevathan's play time decreases. Nick Kwiatkowski is going to have a role on this team. People should be aware of that.
And he's getting an outstanding opportunity right now. And I agree with you. I think he's taking advantage of it so far. So,
I mean, the defense is – he's running the defense, and they've had the edge over Mr. Trubisky in the offense, Matt Nagy's offense, throughout the first 4 days of camp, in my opinion.
All right, what has been your – speaking of Mitch Trubisky in the offense, what is your – what was your breakdown of Trubisky's first four practices?
He'll give you – I'm not freaking out over missed passes, not even the interceptions. I think the advice I would give people is this is a very complicated offense. They're trying some very new things with this offense. And there are going to be hiccups. They are running so many receivers with them. I think in time that's going to change. I think they want to give everybody an opportunity to prove themselves. I mean, Marlon Brown. You know who that is?
No.
He's running with the ones every now
just
and then.
Yes.
He had a great ball today, Mr. Trubisky.
They have us mixed in with the fans now in our designated viewing area, and as soon as Josh Bellamy caught his first pass today, the guy standing next to me was like, I'm still seeing too much Josh Bellamy. Yeah. And I was like, settle down, guy. It's individual drills.
Yes, he's
going to get his reps.
But, Bellamy's working with the ones. You have that rotation going. And I know it's all going to play itself out in chemistry. We'll develop with Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel, yada, yada, yada. But I think some people see Aaron throws. They see him holding on the ball too long. This is going to take time for it to work, and I think it will work. I like to be optimistic about what they're trying to install. I like Matt Nagy's philosophy, but it's going to take time. The defense should be ahead of the offense at this point.
I was watching some of practice today with Robert Mays from The Ringer, and I thought he had a great observation on Trubisky, which was, and he was going back to last season too, when he needs to fire a ball in there, sometimes, and then we're talking more timing routes, and I think this has probably been an accurate take of the practices so far. That's when he gets a little inaccurate, and maybe the timing's off. And that's the kind of stuff that right now I would not be panicked about at all, because new wide receivers and a lot of guys he hasn't had a whole lot of time with, even with Kevin White, you know, not a whole lot of time practice there between those two, and it's a new offense. What is encouraging that Robert Mays also said, though, is when he needs to, you know, do a touch pass to the boundary, and he had a couple of these even over the middle today where he just dropped a dime.
It's to Deion Sims over the middle
over
zone
to
coverage,
Deion Sims today.
Beautiful pass.
He is on the money with those, and that's the harder thing to teach. You know,
that touch.
If you were a quarterback coach and you said, "Well, I got to correct one of those two things," you would be your job would be a lot easier if you had to correct the first one as opposed to the second one, because the second one is more raw natural ability and just knowing how to throw those touch passes in there. And those have still been pretty good. I've liked what I've seen from that standpoint. You know, when he got picked off by Prince Amukamara today, he kind of stared down Trey Burton. And maybe the timing was a little bit off, but Prince was able to read it, picked it, and it might have been a pick six in the game. It's obviously not a play you want to see, but that's correctable. When you got a guy who can't make all the throws, that's when you have a guy that's not worth the number two overall pick in the draft. And I still see that from Mitch. He has that ability.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of the cornerbacks are reading and sitting on some of the routes that the Bears are running. They've practice against it since the offseason program. So they're learning tendencies as well, just like the opponents will scour film to look for tendencies. The defense, who has practiced against them for weeks and months now, has probably picked up on a few things, especially a good veteran like Prince Amukamara. To go back to your point about letting it fire away, I think I know what throw you were talking about. There was one over the middle where I think he tried to go after Deion Sims down the seam. And that was not long after the nice touch pass to Deion Sims, where he's kind of crossing through the middle, kind of split the safeties a bit. But the timing seemed off between him and Deion Sims. And I thought to myself, I think you may have said it too. One of you or Robert may have said it, like, that's not going to be Deion Sims running that route. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be an Adam Shaheen or a Trey Burton running that route down the seam more often than a Deion Sims. But again, going back to the experimental phase, going back to running through so many guys with the ones, with Mitch Trubisky, that's part of it right now. That timing has not been developed. It's been good with some players, but some guys like Deion Sims, it's going to take some work.
All right, how about number 11, Kevin White?
I don't think there's a player who's practicing more than this guy.
They are giving him a lot of reps.
First team, second team. If he's not there, if Tyler Bray's out there with the third team, he's over getting individual work. I think I've seen him play more than any other player. It could be because they're throwing the ball a lot to him, good and bad, but he is out there. All the time. All the time.
So, if he's healthy, how big of part of this offense do you see him being?
I feel like we've talked about this before.
Yeah. Here's what, let me just bring up my concerns first. There's no question that he still has a size, speed, I was about to say catching radius, but maybe that's actually what I'm questioning. He has the length, obviously, with his arms, but that doesn't always mean you have the catching radius. My issue is that I'm still seeing too much with Kevin White, who is making plays out here in Bourbonnais. When it's a tough catch, he doesn't make the play. When he has to adjust, maybe the ball's on the wrong shoulder, or maybe it's on the wrong shoulder by design. He has trouble adjusting to the ball in the air and catching it.
He had a drop like that 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Beautiful ball by Trubisky over the middle. Could not have put it in a better spot. Speaking of touch, Kevin White couldn't make the catch.
50-50 balls. I don't even see a lot of those situations.
What you see is he'll make a lot of catches over the middle, in routes, all that stuff, crossing routes. Then he'll catch the ball and like stop. And then try to put on moves and dance.
Instead of just running.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, maybe some of that is not being hit in stride, but I feel like it happens quite often. You'll see him dance and I don't know if...
Is any of it worried about being hit? Which I would think would be a completely fair fear of his right now.
Well, it's not... They're not hitting him. There's no contact at the second level, at least to the point where an Adrian Amos... Who you know is looking at his chops. You know when like a defensive player runs by and they go,
yeah,
whoosh?
Yeah.
Like, it's like they know they have some clock cleaning hits.
But couldn't you understand if Kevin White's first instinct when he catches the ball in the middle of the field is to kind of hesitate and see what's around him?
Yes, but he's going to get clocked then. He's got to be moving. He's got to be moving. So he needs live contact. We've talked about this. He needs to play in every preseason game. He needs to play a lot in Denver when we go out there for the joint practices.
That's what I want to see. Before I make any final judgments, I'm just telling you what I've seen so far. And some of this goes back to OTAs, too, where I saw him dropping. You know, there are actually a lot of stories praising what he looked like. I was kind of concerned. I mean,
physically, he looks as good as we've ever seen.
Right. Oh, but we know he's size, height, weight, speed. He's got it. That's not the problem here. The question is he an NFL wide receiver? There's plenty of guys who come into the NFL with all those traits and don't play because they're not players. You have to be a football player. You have to play your position.
There was a play today where the play clock had already already expired, but they're going to continue going through the play. The reason it expired is because the receivers did not align properly. So Trubisky was barking out orders. And Taylor Gabriel and Trubisky were telling Kevin White, you're over here, buddy. You are on the wrong side of the field. I feel like I've made note of this
too many
times before.
And that's the kind of stuff where I know they're in a new offense, but you're in year four. And to me, that's not a physical rep deal. That's a mental. That's stuff you should be working. That's what the point of OTAs and minicamp, when you're walking around in shorts, is like... You know, when we get to Bourbonnais, line up properly. So, that stuff happens.
Yes.
But Taylor Gabriel just signed here, too, and he's the one pointing it out to the guy who's been on the team for
that
4 years.
Should happen with... Look, it's okay that it happens. But the frequency, especially with the first team, I'm not alarmed yet.
Like Alshon Jeffrey's false starts.
Yes. Like, yes. What the heck?
Okay. That should never happen, and it's happening like twice a game sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, look, we'll see. I'll make note and see if it continues, but you're not a rookie anymore. You should know what study habits you need to have and where you should line up. Everybody's learning this new offense.
That'd be a good title for like a documentary about Kevin White's season. Not a rookie anymore.
Not a rookie anymore. Fourth year.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch.
I still think whatever the Bears get from him is gravy.
Yeah, I feel the same way too. But I want to see him in games because I want to see if he can start making those plays that I'm telling you about that I don't see being made. I want to see what his speed looks like in live action. I want to see him take a couple hits. I want to see, does he line up properly?
I closely watched him during one-on-one drills. What was it? Which rainy day was it? It had to be Sunday. And look, one-on-one drills, the receiver has the complete advantage because the quarterback just sits there and watches you, and they know what you're running. There's no pressure. The ball could be perfect literally 85% of the time. And Kevin White got Kyle Fuller once, but barely. It was kind of an awkward route. I don't even think it was a completion. I know it was a short completion, like a 5-yard cross, quick slant, if that. But then Prince Umukamara put him through the ringer.
Not the Robert Mays ringer.
No. It's just in my head now. Thanks, Robert, for stopping by to Bourbon. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I know Prince Umukamara is one of your top two cornerbacks. Kevin White is still a top 10 pick. He's got to win his fair share of battles. So then he goes to the opposite side of the field. Kyle Fuller versus Kevin White. Kyle Fuller owned them. Okay, Kyle Fuller is probably your best cornerback. That's going to happen. But Kevin White's got to win some of those still. And then later, Anthony Miller, the second round pick, comes up against Kyle Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
Who put who through the ringer? The rookie put the veteran cornerback through the ringer. Completion. Kyle Fuller slipped and fell. Now the sloppy conditions were pretty much a factor there, but the abrupt move and the route by Anthony Miller was a factor as well. So just things to note when you try to figure out Kevin White's place on this team.
Yeah. All right. Any other observations from camp? I saw a little cute little boy wearing a Jordan Howard jersey today with a sign that said Zach and Mitch were robbed in New Orleans. That was a TD.
I was...
It's very accurate.
Yes, yes. I took a picture of that as well. I
posted it on my Instagram if you want to find
it. One of the funniest moments that I had in camp today was there was this couple. And when Cody Parkey was doing his long field goal work, it was sailing into the fan.
Oh,
area.
Yeah. I saw this too. Yeah.
So the fan caught it, juggled it, and made the reception or catch off the field goal. And his girlfriend or wife, whatever she was really happy and pumped up. And he goes, come on, baby, you got to get the camera ready.
What I saw, that's great. I didn't actually see that. What I saw was a couple that had, I don't even know if they were twin babies, but they must have been because they were both really, really, like, they were babies. And they had set up a nice little shop with the two strollers and two chairs and umbrellas over them, like right behind the goalpost. And then so when they started that field goal session, all of a sudden they're getting like pelted with footballs. So you got the dad holding one of the babies and the mom, and they were just like kind of running around dodging the football.
Oh, I didn't see that. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. All I saw, the guy made the nice catch, and he's like, come on, honey. Get that camera out. Get that iPhone out.
That is an observation from camp today, by the way. Cody Parkey definitely has a leg.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how accurate it was today, but he had a 59-yard field goal that he missed wide left that had plenty of distance. Wind was behind his back, though, but that's pretty much the only situation you're going to be kicking 60-yard field goals in a game anyway. And then he had a 61-yarder that he missed by about 2 yards. It was on.
The Dolphins did not want to lose that guy. The Bears just outbid the Dolphins, and the Dolphins back off.
Well, I hope it was a good signing because that is one position that Ryan Pace has not gotten right since he got here.
One final observation is Mitch Trubisky, in terms of signing autographs, I feel like he's signed over 1,000 already.
Wow.
Are
you exaggerating?
No lie. Yeah, probably a little bit of an exaggeration, but a ton.
Like 250.
No, more. I think actually more than that.
Wow.
I would say more than that.
Okay.
He walks down the fan line from where it begins at the exit and fans start going bonkers for autographs. And today, he was there signing autographs. When we were talking to Taylor Gabriel, he was still going when Matt Nagy finished. He was taking pictures. Impressive. And he's done that every single day.
Chase Daniel, too.
He's actually played pretty well.
Well, he's a pretty good quarterback. He's just a little small. I think that's really, you know, if he was a bigger guy, he'd probably be a starter in this league or have a, you know, pretty decent chance of being a starter. But I think he's pretty valuable already in that quarterback room. I think we've seen that. I agree he's played well here in camp, which we haven't always been able to say about the backup quarterback. Remember Jimmy Clausen a couple years ago?
Mark Sanchez actually had a pretty good couple days of camp early on.
But what I was going to say was Chase Daniel actually tweeted out today, like on his way over to the practice field or right before he was leaving, that he was going to, you know, give away some gloves and stuff like that to, you know, fans. Just giving fans a heads up. Hey, I'm going to be there signing some autographs.
Nice guy.
Just thought, yeah, he seems like a tremendous dude.
The Bears have made a very concerted effort to surround Mitch Trubisky with good guys.
Yeah.
Mark Sanchez, Chase Daniel, kept Dave Ragone around for him, the quarterback's coach, Tyler Bray, by all means is supposed to be an upstanding guy.
Mm-hmm.
They really value the communication around that room.
And one other quick note,
charisma.
I want to get in. I noticed actually on Friday, and then Peter King made mention of this in his whatever he calls that
football
column,
Morning in America,
that Nagy has had Mark Helfrich relay the plays into Mitch Trubisky's headset. I don't know if it's been the whole time, but I've definitely noticed it a few times. And I asked Nagy about that today, and he said that it's really so he can pay attention to the whole deal. And not you know, he realizes he's the head coach. He can't just be calling plays the whole time. And he's trying to pay attention to the whole play. So he and Mark have kind of worked on a system so that they make sure that they're relaying it the exact same way. Because obviously, if you're Mitch and you're getting one voice and it's getting delivered a certain way in your head during practice, and then you go to a game and it's Matt Nagy, that could become problematic a little bit.
Absolutely.
Or at least a hurdle or, you know, some adversity. And so I just found that very interesting that they're I'm sure Nagy's going to get his
well, once his they start trimming down this roster, yeah.
But it's
yeah.
just a kind of a – to me, that was an interesting nugget from the first few days of camp.
It's been a collaborative effort. They want to do a lot of different things with this offense, and I wrote about it over the weekend in my Sunday column. Fans have not seen anything like this before. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a work in progress. It truly is. There's going to be a lot of mistakes, but be excited. It's okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know you got to get out of here because you got to go do one of your
Bears Beat Live.
Check
us out. ChicagoSun-Times.com.
Thanks for inviting me today.
You want to be on it tomorrow?
I can't tomorrow. Can't do it.
Well, can't. We're gonna get you on.
Can't do
definitely
it.
From Denver.
Oh yeah. Well, that's because you're gonna need me probably.
Probably right.
Before we get out of here, though, there was a new episode last night.
This is Jay Cutler.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Very cavalier. Now, full disclosure, we have not watched this.
We've been busy.
It was on late. I decided to actually do work last night. Although I guess some people might say that your work should be watching this show. I would hope people aren't saying that, but I, you know, maybe Dave Ennett's a huge fan, and that's what he wants me doing.
just play your goat clip.
I did see the first 5 minutes though, and this was hilarious.
Hi.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
I'm Kristen.
Hi, Kristen. I'm Max.
Nice to meet you. We've thanks for coming.
13
oh,
baby goats.
My God.
This is Nugget.
A baby. Oh my God. Yay.
Why do we have goats?
They're fertilizing your concrete there.
You mean they're pooping everywhere?
Little known fact, goat poop is apparently great for a lawn. So since the lawn is so important to Jay, just to have a little fun with him, I decided to hire these goats to come and fertilize it.
I mean, they poop a lot.
They do. They produce a cold manure, which means it's absolutely safe to go immediately on your garden.
You want some goats now?
Yeah, I love them.
Well, you gotta go look at this house then.
All right, that's enough. Once we get to real life,
we're good. They poop a lot.
Why do we have goats?
Why do we have goats?
He's the best. I love it. You didn't think that was funny?
Yeah.
No?
Right. I like the Cone clip better.
Well, maybe we need to watch the rest of the episode.
Gladly.
Gladly. All right, we need to get out of here. Thanks for listening. Appreciate everybody following the podcast, and it's just good to be going again here in Bourbonnais.
We'll be back after the break?
Yeah, we'll probably do one again Thursday or Friday.
Works for me.
Bears practice again tomorrow. It's closed to the public. Wednesday is an off day, the first of camp, then back here Thursday and Friday, likely with the pads on. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Please search Hogan Johns on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn. Anywhere you listen to your podcast, you can find us. Please rate and review it. We appreciate you doing that. All right. Will Roquan Smith officially be a Bear? Well, he is officially a Bear, but signed by the time we do our next podcast.
I don't know. Why does Jay Cutler have a goat?
I don't know.
Many mysteries of this world.
That is weird. All right. Talk to you later this week.
See ya.
Why do we have goats?
They're fertilizing your concrete there.
You mean they're pooping everywhere?